I don't know how much sleep I get on these days. I try to clear my mind because usually I'm not sleeping. Sun is just starting to peek over. It's not even twilight. Well, I guess you could call it twilight now. And, I don't know. I had some time. Well, I'm thinking about work. Anyway. Well, things I can do to expedite things. Sometimes it's good to expedite things, sometimes it's not. And, anyway. That's neither here nor there. That's something we'll be trying to get pulled together today. Think of in some of the spare time I have, it's more of a fetish or obsession than anything else. It's kind of like my BBS. It's a silly obsession. I don't know how silly it is, but it's an obsession. And it's running. I've got it. Don't advertise particularly. Thinking about changing its name, but it's like, eh, what's the point? Since it's, whoa, almost ran over a rabbit. The whole idea of personality tests and whether one is autistic, what that makes you in the world. And there seems to be a whole conglomeration around it. And I came up with the whole idea of Zenus, which I don't know if it really describes neurodiverse. There's plenty of people who qualify for neurodiverse. And, wow. For endeavors that require that, where something can be profited for being able I don't know if it's so much a concentration thing, because it really gets tied in with attention deficit. The things that you notice, the things that bother you, and everybody's a little bit different. And it's hard to see where these things come together, because it depends upon how you look at it, as to what you get for medical psychological reasons, which I try to avoid all those things. It's kind of a setting diagnosis. If it gets noticed particularly at school and education systems have something of a built-in, propensity to try and shuttle a lot of people off to, it's called, in a lot of places, it's called special programs, special education. This is a pot of money that exists because school has to service all students, all school children, and has to do it, it has different criteria have been set up to make this happen. I have to say that if it's identified early, it tends to be something on the autism spectrum. And that's what it's called, the autism spectrum disorder. There used to be another potential diagnosis. There's two different people in two different places at just about the same time that identified something that had a lot of commonality. one of them was called autism. I forget who was the great identifier of that one. Asperger syndrome, Asperger, or however you pronounce it, wherever the guy was from, his name was Asperger. And he kind of identified more able-bodied. Or more able people of this sort, people who tended to be obsessed, people who tended to have an, I don't know if it's an inability, but didn't, Asperger's wasn't, didn't have to be debilitating. And this comes into the realm of what's normal and what you can expect normal people to do. The people with autism and with Asperger's, or Asperger's, depending on who you talk to, where you got your diagnosis, and what setting. Like my son Matt, for instance, he was diagnosed when he was about two. And when you're diagnosed at that place, at that age, in the United States, at least at that time, that was back in the early 90s, it was autism, and it was rather rare. It's not rare anymore because they've broadened it so much and made it so that, you can't, so that many people of what I consider to be the Xenus, which is Old Greek for alien or stranger, a foreigner. Around Xenus, there was a whole process around hospitality to such people and what you did for them. And it really became a branch of it became the hospitality industry. And I picked up on it as a probably more a kinder way of dealing with these sorts of people. There was a popular blog at the time, I don't know how popular it is anymore, called Wrong Planet. What was that guy's name? Alex Plank. And he was kind of an autism rights kind of a guy. He got caught up with the internet pretty early. And there have been various groups around autism, Barry Kaufman had an autistic-ish son. And he came up with a very intense therapeutic methodology. Everything around autism is a little you have to be a little skeptical about. Because he made a claim that he cured it in his son. But some people said that his techniques, and he set up kind of a, I'm digging around for the last bits of chicken. Bought chicken last night. Ate most of it last night. Still had a little, several bits of peach left. No. So, to be honest, I don't see anything more, darn it. I got chicken grease all over me. Mostly grease and bones left. Anyway. Most of the earlier programs were, you know, were helping parents cope with this in childhood. When people who have been diagnosed with autism, see, this is kind of a, I'm not going to say it's a new thing. It's new being brought to the forefront. Anyway, and one of the most visible, and she's getting quite old now, is Temple Grandin. She had a movie. Had a movie made of her about her. And she's on the lecture circuit a lot. The parents of autistic kids would love talking to her because she is probably the most successful diagnosed autistic, and she gained prominence because parents want to think well of their kids, you know, even the ones that have many problems, that somehow they can have a life and a future and something approaching fulfillment. I don't know. I struggle with this myself for just saying, you know what, I'm just this guy. I do what I do. God watches over me, and I'm grateful for that. And Well, anyway, yeah, Max Planck was really one of the first people to say it was kind of autism for autistics, and it was kind of a repudiation of the biggest thing society should do is to support the poor parents who have to put up with these kids. You know, I would imagine that back in another time, back about 70 years ago, autistic people just would have been put in institutions and forgot, you know, and you would go on with your life. That was what mostly happened, and that was what was proposed to Temple Grandin's Ma. She didn't do it. And she inculcated in Temple good behavior. And that's something that you can do to people and to varying degrees. Individual autistics are either grateful or ungrateful for kind of a strict behavioral program. There's something called the ABA. I don't know what the letters stand for. Something about behavior and autism. That's what the A, one of the A's and a B. I don't know. Anyway, is all about just pounding into people behavior, you know. And to a certain extent, that works. One of the things, my son Matt has very little concept of money whatsoever, or math, or anything like that. So he can't be left to himself to handle. You know, he's reasonably independent. I think my mom did a good job. He lived with my mom for some years. And not very many. But she inculcated a lot behavior and schedule. She was kind of like that. Because I think, you know, I don't know predominantly, but I think my mom was the genetic wellspring of whatever autism exists in my family. That's obvious. I'm kind of, I don't know. Not so much so. And anyway, so this all gets crunched up into a lot of different things. I studied the, you know, I don't know what they're called, really. Behaviors, attitudes, you know, they've come up with all kinds of interesting things. This came out of, I think, leadership training more than anything else. I don't know. Anyway, alphas, betas. They've come up with a whole bunch of them. I forget what they all were, alpha, beta, sigma. I only bring up sigma because I think that's the one that kind of describes me. Kind of going off on your own thing. Kind of the lone wolf. And it's lone wolf because, you know, people can get really weird. At the very root of wokeism is what can be considered proper speech, proper talk, political correctness, all kind of get wound up into one thing, and they've been all labeled being woke, which really having this wonderful understanding of whatever, people. And, people have begun to make more associations among these things as more able-minded. People get, they say, oh, well, you've got autistic tendencies. And it's like, well, I don't know, but, you know, I behave the way I behave, I do what I do, because it's mostly kind of a behavioral thing, you know. It's like there are certain behaviors that are appropriate for society. It kind of changed from appropriateness to, what's the right way to say it now? Kind of being normal. You have to understand, that's really what psychology is all about, is trying to render people as normal as they can. It's become a really burgeoning field because as they've expanded the realm of not being normal and needing somebody to help bring you to normalcy. That's one brand of psychology. Of course, they get caught up in being life coaches and various other things. Anyway, so It's been interesting. As you go and you kind of look around at different things, where we're trying to find ways to put these, they call them the neurodivergent, try to find ways to use these people in society. And it can be interesting because people who are politically left-wing are of the sort of temperament that will tend to do this. Is this the way some people are? You know, is, well, we need to put these people to work, or we need to help these people to get the most normal life they can. And you're going, you know, a lot of these people, it's like, you know, you're constantly trying to push me into some box that has normal written on the side. There's a lot of people that lashed out that. There was a particularly good essay that was written in the early 90s by an adult autistic person. It's really interesting. There is a certain group of these people that although they can't function in society very well, they're actually quite brilliant. And the internet gave them a wider voice, you know. They could write, they could type, kind of like computer augmented people. This gave them a way to express themselves. There's a couple of chat rooms that have been used for 30 or 40 years for those with autism, Asperger's, whatever. We just call ourselves ASPIs. And I would go occasionally to these things, but I ultimately said, you know what, these things aren't going to be useful to me. There are these guys I would talk to, we'd have these interesting conversations, very, very high level, and then you'd ask them about their life, and they go, yeah, I've got an apartment somewhere, and I don't, and I can't hold down a job, and you know, I'm on a government pension, and I live off that government pension. A lot of them in Europe. America doesn't tend to do this. Although I can't say much, my son Matt has been getting, it's called Special Supplemental Income. It's kind of a branch of Social Security. He's gotten that since he was 3. And, it was kind of a headache for us as his parents because we only qualified for his money, which was a pretty good chunk of money. Under certain circumstances, we actually couldn't save money for a long time. And I don't remember what the... Anyway... Once he got up to a certain age, I forget what it was, I think it might have been 18, a lot of the restrictions only applied to him. It didn't apply to the whole household he was living in. And that was nice because then I could go out and make more money. I think that was when I finally decided to expand my horizons. Well, actually, it was when he moved in with my mother. And, you know, when he was trying to be more independent, at least not have to be treated like a child, I guess. And I don't know how, I don't know if she lived with those strictures or if she, it wasn't a problem for her. She was not working anymore. And she was living off of her Social Security and other things like that. So it kind of freed us up to be able to get expansive. So I did, you know. Anyway, so I had, I'll tell you, one of my early jobs out of college was working for the Women, Infants, and Children Supplemental Food Program. I don't know what it's called anymore. Anyway, but apparently there was a lot of infighting and battles going on around the public health office where I was. I wasn't contributing to it at all. I was just doing my own thing. It was good for me because, you know, I've always been an author. And these were a lot of kind of helping agencies. There was one particular woman. She was the public health nurse, and she thought she was supposed to be the person really in charge. And she had some interesting personality. I don't know what you call it, problems. She ultimately left there and went into a convent. So she pretty much left society. And when I look at it, I don't want to say that she was a bad person. She wasn't a bad person. She was put into a circumstance that wasn't very useful for the group, I guess. So anyway, they brought some expert in. I kind of consider it quasi pseudoscience, and we officially, the state paid for it, for everybody in this place, me included, to take the Myers-Briggs testing, the official one. So I was officially tested this way, and I came out with an INFP. Over the years, I've still typed out that way. Sometimes I'll think that I'm an INFJ. I don't know, but I don't think I am. Anyway, there is a new subcategory, or there's a subcategory, I don't know, called INFPT, which is turbulent. I think it puts a flavor on it. I don't think it's just for INFPs. I think several, if not all of the Myers-Briggs personalities it kind of grew out of Myers-Briggs. This comes from a place called 16 Personalities, and they added this thing for, I forget what the other side of it is. You can be a turbulent, or you can be something else. I forget what it is. The other one tends to be more, more useful. And, anyway, all these things tend to belong together, but it's different methodologies. It almost seems like different ways of looking at something that's basically either extremely similar, has a lot of similarities, or the clinician sorts will tend to call you autistic or ADHD. They used to have a thing called PDDNOS. Is a pervasive developmental disorder. Nothing really specific. Anyway, so all this stuff can being sigma, being certain personality types. I don't know how many autistic people are actually INFP, but it kind of gets mushed together. So I'm starting to think work things that I don't want to talk about. Not that it really matters, but that's what this thing's about. So anyway, yeah, over the years I've poked at it and I've seen the whole thing. I think you're also talking about the same people. It just depends on which kind of classification criteria any particular evaluator is accustomed to that they'll go running to. You know, DSM-5, it's 5 now. It was 4 when I was more accustomed to using it. You know, we'll diagnose you with autism. Other kinds of things. Schools, when it was like, you know, it's too much trouble to get a real autism thing, you have to go through a lot of mess. It was easier to give them diagnose some, you know, and it's not everybody. It's kind of like a Venn diagram, and everybody in the middle, at least for my purposes, is kind of seen as, it's kind of a large globular kind of thing. Really treat it like kind of a race or a, I don't know how you would do it. You can look at it that way, you know, depends on how left-leaning you tend to be. I'm not. So I kind of avoid the labels. Not that the labels really matter. Sometimes they can be useful. More often than not, they can get you into kind of a weird mindset. You start thinking of, oh, you know, I'm not being treated right. I should be more affirmed in my problems. I can tell you, it's been tempting for me in the past, just dealing with the things I deal with. Poor Lisa has to put up with me talking about my wanderings. Anyway, so I don't know what brings up this topic particularly. I came up with Zenus many years ago. Anyway, so you know, I don't really know the actual utility of such people. Probably the biggest, deepest thing is this a state of being or is this an abnormality? The state of being, you just got to kind of see it for what it is. It's kind of a different kind of a person. It's an abnormality, you know. You know, there's plenty of people who, I don't know. It depends on how you look at it. Sometimes you look at it as praying, as in, like, stalking a predator stalking something. Parents and other concerned people who want to find a, quote, cure for autism. And it starts getting into these weird terms like lived experience and stuff like that. From saying, how much do you... how much do you pander to these things, as opposed to just making people behave in ways that a larger society finds more acceptable. It's tricky because I don't think there's any clear-cut way to do that. You know, God hasn't said, and thou shalt take your bizarre behavior people and shove them into one place or another. You know, Scripture brings up the whole thing about sex and gender. They get pretty thrown out. That's why a certain group of people that embrace a form of atheism or are attracted to religions that can accommodate things wrapped around sexual depravity. I'm an Aaronite, so, you know, because I tend to ally strongly with Yahweh, Jehovah. And I'm sorry, I'm thinking about other things. I'm thinking about a lot of things while I'm trying to do these recordings. I don't know if the silence skipping is really working. It looks as if it does. But I don't know. Anyway, need to make sure the settings are set up to skip silence. So it's an interesting idea. I have not yet weaved it into any stories or books or really done anything too exotic about it. Every once in a while I'll get off on it, and there is a section on my website that is more Zenith-y. And the latest stuff I added to it was stuff about Sigma. But can I be honest? There's all kinds of Zenith-y people. It's all, you know, my first insight was that autism as a disability was a disability tied to Zenith. Just like, sickle cell anemia is a malady that predominantly affects black people. There could be certain differences in physiology that you can see. So Venus people, a disability of Venusness is autism. If you tend to see an autistic person, there's a good chance that that person is also Venus. Trying to give a larger nebulous term to, or just a more, I don't know if nebulous is the right word, a larger definition. I don't know. Larger description, larger way of being. Of course, the problem is when Papa Zenas so far basically says if you meet a lot of the criteria of Asperger's, which is really they come back. They don't like how to say it, you know, because it isn't like, well, you're more autistic than that guy. And you go, no. I don't know if it's different manifestations. We just call it high functioning autism. And Asperger's kind of became that, and then they dropped the Asperger's altogether. Well, some people still like it because it's more descriptive of them. It's not so disabled. It's just something you have to deal with. People around you have to deal with it. And then I try to remember what I was reading just really recently. Maybe it was just on Monday. I got a day off. You know, my mind gets to run off into other directions besides work. And I lost my train of thought. That's horrible. It happens. Anyway, I took the 16 personalities test again. I do this occasionally as it kind of comes up just to see if something's changed and nothing changes. Boy, I always come back and it's INFPT. The whole turbulent thing. Just a nice way of saying that I'm more troublesome to deal with. I don't get along very well. So, it's a long dead piece. know how the system actually handles those logged-in pieces. Because I think in the actual timing, it says, oh, yes, and this is this. I think it goes ahead. I don't know that in skipping the silent parts, if it just, makes it smaller, but it tries to reproduce the pauses, which is bad because I pause a lot. I'm not reading from prepared notes. I'm not doing a lecture. I'm not much of a lecturer, really. Trying to get people to a place, and that's a lot. I don't work it too much because I don't want this to get in the way of work. My wife is very much a pragmatist, and it is, Jason, number one, do not make yourself unemployable. So I don't get tested for these things. It's not useful. To be really honest, to establish and get yourself diagnosed, I don't think it really becomes useful because there is no, as far as I'm aware of, at least no decent adult therapy for these things. And I don't think you need a diagnosis to see these things in yourself. Your spouse, but sometimes still very difficult for people like me to get married. I've got a very tolerant wife, sort of. And getting a person who's close to you, who knows you, a good friend, a spouse, can probably confirm to you, because one of the things about autism is that the powers of rationalization can get you to not pay attention to this, and then you're totally confused about why life is treating you a certain way. Things aren't going the way you think they should. And it's important to have a nice but honest friend to tell you, hey, this is you. And you go, yeah? Oh yeah, this is you. This is your. When I see the description of like autism, and they go, oh yeah. It's good to have an outside observer tell you. Although I don't know how useful it is to actually have it be somebody who's professional, because I'm not really into psychologists. They're just fishing around for business. They go, I can help you with that. And you go, yeah, how much money are you going to charge me? Of course, every therapist thinks that everybody should be in therapy getting worked on. And I disagree wholeheartedly. I don't want somebody else, because I think when you're doing therapy, you're really getting someone else to try to run your life for you, and I don't think that's a good idea. Not that such people are bad, since they aren't bad people, just I just don't want to get knocked up, and I know that that puts me at some kind of weird disadvantage. I don't have a lot of normal people that try to help me out with this. My wife doesn't want to mess with it. I understand that. Well, she ends up doing it. It's like, let's not talk about this, shall we? Can we get off this subject? It's like, oh, okay. It can become an obsession, which is one of the things that these things are known for. I think it's the key. It's the key. The key attribute of a Zenith personality is obsession. Now, of course, I do it because it reflects me and it reflects my experience. And, so it's going to be jaundiced that way. Just kind of by nature. I would love for it to get a little more widespread so we could see if it was a kind of experience that a lot of people on the autism spectrum can relate to. It says, I don't know how useful the thing is. Are people able to deal better with these things? If you put a new label on it, try to make it so it's not so clinically debilitating? I don't know. I look forward to when I can retire. And, I don't know. I could spend more time doing obsessions, I guess. Anyway, so I've been doing this a little over an hour. Although I've really said if it really resonates with anybody in the whole world, of course, nobody's ever going to listen to this stuff. Maybe my children, who knows? And not that I haven't talked about this ad nauseum for a lot of things. It's not interesting to people. They'll go, I don't listen to Numero because it's all he ever talks about. You go, no, not all I ever talk about. If it can be useful to other people and it helps somebody, then I guess it's been worth it. I wouldn't really call it a peer group. It's like, there's been some news reports, there was two autistic people, a man and a woman, who got married and they lived together and they do their own thing. And I really don't know if that's a good idea. I really don't. I am married to I'm married to Lisa. I don't have a description for Lisa because I don't want to pigeonhole her. I don't think, number one, I don't think it would help our relationship if I tried. She gets to define who she is by whatever criteria she wants to, and in whatever way or not lack of way that she wants to. Anyway, so and these recordings are not for talking about her, because I don't think she would like to be talked about. I don't think she wants my analysis of it. What little she gets, she doesn't like. And I don't read her journal. I really don't want to know what she thinks of me. Because if it were me, I'd say the most horrible things about me. For just being, I can't stand the list. I can barely stand the man. And it's like, yeah, you know, I can get that. I understand that kind of, those kinds of ideas. I really can't. Regardless, I don't want to go into that. She loves me. I love her. And I try to serve her as much as I can. It requires self-sacrifice. And sometimes it makes me crazy, and other times it's like, no, this is what needs to be done. We have a concept in Latter-day Saint thought that your disabilities, I think people usually think of people like in wheelchairs or people who have had accidents. They had a wonderful life, and then that wonderful life was lost due to some accident or happenstance. That these things are overcome in the resurrection. They'll be resurrected with a perfect body. And it's kind of a loaded thing for Zenith-ish autistic people, because it's like, so I'm going to be a different person. It's almost like, is this just the way I am, and I'm going to continue to be this way into the eternity? I understand why people would think that they would really want to embrace the idea of oblivion after death. There is no afterlife, because their life has been so bizarre, and it's just, you know, and it's like, well, is it the way I am? Is some kind of weird chemical imbalance? Will that be fixed up? What kind of a person will I be? What kind of, you know, will all the obsessions go away? It's been such a feature of my life. I don't know, you know. Well, I hate computers because I kind of obsessed over them, turned that into money. I don't know. Pardon me. Groupie this morning. Oh, we got that. I don't think I took any of my pills. Dang it. Do it when I get home tonight. You know, I could bring some pills with me. I used to have a supply of pills in the travel. That way, when I forgot them at one location, I could get them later. I could do that again. There's only one pill that I really depend upon, the one for gout. I want to stay wrapped up in that particular. Oh, I'm almost to work. I am experimenting with a new watch. I don't know how I feel about it. Interesting idea. Somebody at Allsup's, the cashier at Allsup's, saw me do my Altoid thing. And she goes, well, that's pretty cool. She goes, I've seen people do this. And she pulled out a gum, a new hard case gum container. It's not as tough as an Altoid can be, but same basic idea. Anyway, so that's what I've got now. All right, I'm done. I need to stop. This has been Cohen Meander, Jason Neverhungry.